Revelation chapter 5. What we're going to do today, we're going to look at the lost planet. As I take this in this area right here, I'd like to say that this is a throne. And you think about the throne that God created, that one day we're going to stand in heaven. There'll be 24 thrones surrounding, representing all the redeemed. 12 thrones from the Old Testament, 12 thrones from the New Testament. There'll be the King, King Jesus. There'll be God the Father. And there upon the throne, with all of His glory, we will see Jesus. That's who we will see. We will be gathered around, we will be praising Him, but as we look upon the throne, we can only visualize that one who is sitting upon the throne. Upon the throne, there's the book. The scroll. The book would be called, we call it a book, New Testament term, scroll. And what you find that on the scroll, there are 7 pages. And each one of these 7 pages are sealed with 7 different seals. And the one who's sitting upon the throne is holding the book. With a mindset, John the Apostle was once out of Patmos. He was there because he was preaching the Son of God. He was there in a form of persecution. He was there in a form of prison. There on this island. But on this island, it was on the Lord's Day, in which the Holy Spirit came upon John, and God Almighty sent a message from the Father. The Father sent a message to the Son, that sent a message to the angel, that sent a message to John. John in chapter 4, the revelation is raptured. He is called up to be with God the Father there in the heaven, and to hear and to see things that he had never heard and never seen before. It was there that he was introduced to all the believers of mankind. Those who are saved, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and they were giving praise and honor. And then all of a sudden, one of these angels said to John, John, I want you to look. I want you to look and I want you to see something. I want you to see the lost planet. For in just a moment, we're going to learn that what you're looking at right here is the deed to the universe. It is the deed to the earth. It is the deed to all of the glory that dwells upon what we call planet Earth. Today, I call it the lost planet. It is there, and now you have been taken into the presence of God. And now you will begin to hear and see about this lost planet. Because this lost planet, in reality, it's the history. It's the history of mankind. Walk with me. We're now in heaven. Walk with me because you're going to hear something. You're going to hear about the Lamb. You're going to hear about the Lord. You're going to hear about the Lion. All of these are going to be found in this chapter. And as we write this chapter, there will be 7 scenes. And inside of these 7 scenes, all of a sudden you're going to capture one major personality or one major word that you'll be able to focus on so that the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you in a very special way that maybe you've not been stirred inside before, because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 that everyone that reads this book and hears this book and does this book will be blessed. And so therefore the Holy Spirit is now here to bless. I'm here to speak to you as an individual. Bystander, yes, but let's watch this. But I got to carry you back one step further. I got to go back before the foundation of the world was ever laid. And when you go back before the foundation of the world was ever laid, then you're going to discover something. You're going to discover this love that existed. In fact, behind this throne, you would see as that love existed before the world, this lost planet was ever made. John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You see, love existed. Christ existed. The presence of the Father existed before this lost planet was ever even brought into existence. Look at that love. That's the love of the Father. The foundation in which we're talking about this morning is a foundation of love, but it goes further than that. Love followed a sovereign path. Found in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 3 through 5, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will." Amazing. Amazing. What is this foundation? Even before the lost planet came into existence, there was the love of the Father toward Jesus. There was the love that God had all intentions to bring you and I into His presence. To make you someone very special. A king. A priest. Rooted and grounded. Personified in Christ Jesus. Love. Love. So as we continue on in this, we see love became personified in the person of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. The Scripture says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in Him." Okay, where are you? Let's capture it just for the moment. Can't even hardly begin to imagine what life would be back before existence of time. And yet, as we proceed, remember, it's coming out of the love of God, how it's flowing. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. "And I saw in the book of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals." There it is. We're looking at this scroll. We're looking at the title of the universe. But what about this? Who owns this deed? Who has the title? If I were to ask you today, who owns this today? Who owns this book? Who owns the Scripture? Because you see this book, what it represents. It represents a world that was lost. Let me give you a for instance. A for instance is that in the Old Testament, when they had a piece of ground, if a family came upon hard times, they might sell that piece of property. And the hard times might be as recorded in the scroll. And then it would also be that if you were going to redeem this piece of property, then you had to have the right credentials, you had to be the near kinsman, and you had to have the right possessions. You had to be able to purchase that. Now, this scroll right here, the deed to the universe, if I were to ask you, in fact, just for the fun of it, just for a moment, who owns this? Who owns this? Now, this is a trick question, okay? Y'all with me now. This is a trick question. I'm going to wait till somebody speaks up, and then I'll go for it. Okay, who owns the deed to the universe? That's a good answer. Under God. Who owns the deed to the universe? That's a good Sunday school answer. Jesus. It always works. Did the sun come up? Jesus did it. No. I love it. You know, but I'm not lowering my Jesus. That Jesus is the answer. Okay? Let me just get it right straight. I'm not making fun of that. But anyhow, wait a minute. Legally, That dominion was given to a man named Adam. Where did you first find him? You found him in the Garden of Eden, didn't you? If you went back, it was legally this land right here had belonged to Adam, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Who then was given dominion of the universe?
Adam,
good. Who owns it today? Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat." Satan deceived Adam and Eve. What happened to the dominion of the universe? Whose hand was it placed in? Whose name is inscribed upon that? You would say, Satan the deceiver? Satan legally received the dominion of the planet. And that's the reason why I call it the lost planet. For thousands of years, it has been in the hands of Satan. Now you can say, "Now wait a minute. Come on now, that don't sound right. Is God in control?" Absolutely. Okay, Paul. God is in control. Does God? Yes. Has anything ever been out of control? The answer is no. But God's got a plan. But look what happened. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. The Scripture says, "While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." What happened? Mankind became a slave to sin. And because mankind became a slave to sin, then he lost the dominion of the planet. The ownership, the title. Now, whoa. Let me carry you one step further. What about Satan's dominion? Luke chapter 4, verse 6. This is when Jesus was being tempted by Satan three times out in the wilderness. And Satan, the devil, said unto him in Luke 4, 6, he said, "All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me." This is Satan speaking. "For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it to." Who is he speaking to? He was speaking to the Lord Jesus. What was happening? All of a sudden, Jesus did not rebuke Satan right there in the midst of this temptation. Jesus did not say, "You do not have glory in this world." Jesus did not say, "You did not receive the dominion and because of sin and enslaved mankind." No, Jesus did not rebuke Satan, so therefore, where is the title of the universe? Let me carry you one step further. Look at Satan's kingdom, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." First part of that phrase. "In whom the god of this world," noticing its little g, "in whom the god of this world," legally, the title of the earth has been lost. So if it was legally lost, then how is it going to be returned? As you think about the loss, the lethal consequences are sealed within this sealed right here. Whoever redeems this book right here, this scroll right here, will have to break the seals. And when they break the seals, there are certain punishments, there are certain consequences of the sin that was committed that caused these seals to even come about. If man would have never sinned, if Adam and Eve would have not sinned, if we were not being part of that sin, then this would not be here. But wait a minute. It is. It is. How serious was it? It's so serious that we see that when these seals are broken, we're going to find something happen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, "For then shall the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." The book. We're in heaven. The lost universe. Verse 2. Revelation 5, verse 2. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" That's the real kicker. As we come inside of this, who is worthy? Verse 3. "And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to even look upon it." Nobody. Nobody. Hey, did Adolf Hitler, did he want to have the deed of the universe? He did. But was he worthy? No. No. All of the great kings, all of the fierce warriors, all of the, everyone, the greatest men that you could ever think about, did they want it? Yes. But are they worthy? No. Hitler was a fiend. He was a murderer. But yet he wanted the control. Who could take the book? The cry, "Who is worthy?" So that's what we're beginning to look at right now. Who is worthy to take this book? It's been lost. It must be redeemed. Who can do that? Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25, it says, "If thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possessions, and if any kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold." Who could redeem it? Who is worthy? Oh, we think about it. The one, John looked around. In verse 4, what happened? In verse 4, he said, "I looked at Peter, I looked at John, I looked at James, I looked at Solomon. I looked at all these great men. I looked around," and verse 4 says, "and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither even to look upon." No man. John, where was John? John was in heaven. And what was John doing? John was weeping his eyes out. You know, question. Are there tears in heaven? Okay, now this is one of those thought questions. This is one that, you know, that all of a sudden, you know, sometimes you get some off-the-wall stuff. And you have to think through this. Were there tears in heaven? Where was John when he was weeping in the Spirit? He was in heaven. Now, that's not to take away what God's going to do. I want you to understand. I don't want to leave you there. But at this time, John was in heaven and he was weeping his eyes out because, as in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, "There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all become together unfit. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." No one. And John now is not just whimpering. He is weeping his eyes out. Because the universe is lost. The title deed is under the hands of Satan. And now he says, "Is this the way it's going to be?" He was weeping. When John was weeping, think back of the scripture. Tears are produced by death. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. I mean, referring now to John weeping. He shall swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from all the earth. The Lord has spoken it. Fact being, the Lord is going to take away all weeping. Okay? Tears flow in the tribulation. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What's God going to do? He's going to take those who have died, who have given their life, who are now there in the presence of Him, and He's going to take those tears, He's going to wipe them away. Revelation 21 verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now let's capture the moment. The emphasis here is that God will wipe away all tears. Okay, don't mistake that. At what point will God do that? That's the question. That's the question. There's going to be a lot of pain and suffering, and the tears will not totally be wiped away until the last enemy is destroyed, and the last enemy is death. Then after that, no more tears. How far do we go in this? I don't know yet, okay? I'm in a spiritual journey right here. I'm asking God, what's happening right here? But God's making something very evident right here. He's going to wipe away all tears. But it's going to be God doing it. John was in heaven. He was weeping his eyes out because he thought the redemption of the earth that God had promised, he thought it was over with. He saw no help. Sometimes that's what happens to us today. There's a cry out for a Redeemer, and people will say, where is God? Where is God? Where is God? And then you'll hear a cry of defeat out, I can't find God. I can't feel God. I can't see God. I can't hear God. I can't reach out there and touch God. So does God really exist? The answer is, He does really exist. Just because you cannot see Him, touch Him, or feel Him at certain times in your life, doesn't mean that He does not exist, because John was weeping and crying out, oh God, who is going to redeem that which was lost? But wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's another cry that's occurring. Look in verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Ha! Jesus Christ is worthy! And how do we know that He's worthy? Oh, He is the Lion of the tribe of Israel. He is the Root of David. And I want you to see His worthiness. How then all of a sudden this cry is turning into rejoicing. And this cry is turning into worshiping here. Because you see, He is the Lamb. The Lamb. Look at the Lamb real quick in verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and four beasts. Now remember, the four beasts are four living ones. There are four who are leading the praise in heaven. They have wings, six wings. They have many eyes. And they are there, the four living ones. They are praising God. And in the midst of the elders, remember who the elders are. We had 24 elders representing the Old Testament and the New Testament. 24. They are believers. Saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, we find now the praise leader of the beast, the four living ones, the four beasts, the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. And I beheld, he said. What did I do? I looked. How does a lamb stand? How does a slain lamb stand. Not but one way. And that's the resurrection. You see, Jesus Christ was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was the Lamb, the sinless one. It looks as though He's defenseless. Hey, isn't it amazing? We're looking now here, Jesus, as He's being represented. We're looking here as a Lamb. How are we going to see Satan in a little bit? We're going to see Satan as this great red dragon. We're going to see the false prophet rising up out of a beast, out of the ocean. We're going to see another beast who is going to be the Antichrist. All of these ugly looking creatures. But yet, how do we see Jesus? He is the Lamb. The Lamb. And why is He worthy? He's worthy because He created the world in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. For Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. He is worthy because of the cross of Calvary. Revelation 5, 6, And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, as it had been slain. He is worthy to take the scroll because of the conquest over Satan. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. He prevailed over Satan. He is worthy. He is worthy. And because of that, they broke out with praise. How do we know that He is worthy? The Scripture says, as we're reading, He had seven horns. What do horns represent? Horns represent power or authority. In other words, the number is seven means perfect. It means complete. He has all power. He had seven eyes. What does that mean? He has complete seeing. In other words, He is omniscient. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient, all-seeing. And then there were seven spirits, meaning that He is everywhere. Why is He worthy? He's omnipotent. Why is He worthy? He's omniscient. Why is He worthy? He's omnipresent. So therefore, Jesus Christ, He is worthy. He is worthy because of creation. He is worthy because of the cross. He is worthy because of the conquest over Satan. He is able because He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And He is willing. He is legally our brother. He had to leave heaven and become flesh so that He could be our brother and redeem the lost planet, the universe, the world as we know today. Jesus Christ is worthy. So today, as we think about this, when these seals are unloosed, there's going to be some terrible things. And we'll read from these seals within the next 2 weeks. We'll just break the seals, even as Jesus did. And we'll read them and we will look at them. But what is the message for us today? In heaven, hey, Jesus Christ prevailed. Is He going to wipe away all tears? Absolutely. Do we have power to live victorious life today? Supremely. Is Christ worthy of our praise and honor? Yes. He is worthy. So let's glorify Him today. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You, we look at the book. Lord, and as we see the book, we understand now what sin did unto us. Lost the dominion, lost the title deed of this earth, and we became under bondage of sin. But now, Lord, we see the Lamb that was slain from the foundation, the Lamb that was slain for us, so that our sins might be forgiven. And now the Lamb is standing, prevailing, victorious, Jesus Christ. He is Lord. We glorify You, Father, this day. We praise You, Lord Jesus. And until that time comes, Father, help us to live the life that would bring You honor and glory. Because one day, we know we shall rule and reign on this earth with Christ. Why? Because You loved us. You loved us. Father, help us to understand that love, to love one another, In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. This morning, as we bring a comma in the message, He is worthy. Jesus Christ is worthy. Is He your Lord? If not, I invite you to give your life to Jesus Christ today. Accept Him as the Lord of your life. He is the one who prevailed, and He will win the victory. What about in your life? Do you have victories that you need won today? I can honestly tell you, Christ is the answer. We've taught that as children, taught that as adults, and yet the words echo out, Christ is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Have you given Him your life? The prayer altar is going to be open. Maybe others would like to come be a part of this fellowship. We invite you. What is God saying to you today? Let's stand together and sing as people make decisions.